3, and then picking up in chapter 4 with verse 4, and reading down through verse 8. So that's we'll start out with Philippians chapter 3, and just the last two verses of that book, or of that chapter, verse 20 and 21. And reading the words in Jesus' name. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he was able to even subdue all things unto himself. Then picking up with verse 4 in chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but be in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And we'll read verse 9 also. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you would speak to us through these words. That, Father, that you would strengthen us, that you would uplift us, and you would encourage us, that we would be able to continue to walk on this path, and that we would continue to look to you for strength and guidance. For indeed, these words are true, because you are true. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul, in writing these words, a little bit previous to these few words in chapter 3, you know, again, he talked about those who are going out and trying to influence Christians, because the people in Philippi at that time, they were having to deal with the Greek culture. And the Greek culture was such that they did not believe, nor were they convinced, that the Christian way of life is right and proper. Their whole life revolved around what they could do, and trying to earn their own salvation, if you will, and worship their gods in the way they thought that they should be worshiped. So Paul started in verse 20, he says, for our conversation, or for our citizenship, is in heaven. And that's something that we need to completely remember at all times. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's not on this earth. It's not a part of this earth. It's not a part of our life. We are citizens of heaven. God is the president, if I could say it that way. He is the ruler. We are citizens in heaven. And from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We look to heaven because Christ is there, sitting on God's right hand. And it's something we need to remind ourselves of every single day, every waking moment, that Jesus is in heaven with God, sitting on his right hand. And God is visually seeing him every single day, and through that visual, being reminded that the price was paid. Not that he needs to be reminded, that's not the point. But sometimes we say things in a way that the human nature or the human understanding can understand it and can bring it a little bit closer so that we understand just how much God loves us. So if we think of it in such a way that Christ is sitting there as a reminder to God that that price was paid and that salvation lies in what Christ did for us, it brings it a little closer to us. It reminds us that there is a reason why God loves us. And then he goes on and he says, and who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That term vile body signifies, well, at least for me anyway, it seems, when you talk about something being vile, it's not a real pleasant thing. It's not a real nice thing to picture. In other translations, it's called the humble body or a lowly body. And indeed, it is not. We've got to be careful here, because the term body, as we think of it, is what you see, the flesh and blood that stands here even today. But is that body vile? Or is what lives inside of it the vile part, the human nature? Because you think, stop and think of it, God made that body. God made what you see standing here. And God made it perfect. And God made all the things that are inside this body to work to keep us alive. So to call the body vile, to me anyway, and this is just personal, it's kind of offensive, because you're calling what God did not good. But that which lives inside this body, and this is what they're speaking of, this is what the thought is, that which lives inside of us, the human nature, the things that we do that are wrong, the sins that we commit, those things will be changed. And this body then, all of these things that live inside of us and all the things that we do will end. They'll stop. We can't do it of ourselves today. We can't do it of ourselves alone. But it will end, and we will be like him. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and it's quite lengthy, I'm not going to go into it, but the Apostle Paul talks about it, beginning with verse 35 and reading through to the end of the chapter, verse 58. And in reading it, he talks about, the first part of it, he talks about seeds being planted in the ground. And likening that to our bodies, or who you see standing there. And he told the people, he said, the seed is not what is going to go to heaven. That's not what ultimately it's going to end up being. That seed is going to die. That seed, when it's planted in the ground, it has to die so that it can bring forth fruit. And that which springs up from that seed doesn't look like that seed at all. It's not a portion of it. It has no resemblance to that seed at all. Because now it has received that new body. Now it has received that new appearance, I guess you could say. And that's what that chapter is talking about. And if you have this next week coming, read it and study it. It's a very, very beautiful scripture and very, very beautiful picture of what our body is going to be when Christ calls us home. He tries to make it as clear as humanly possible. And sometimes that isn't very easy. But he is still telling us that we are going to be perfect, that we are going to be and appear as Christ's body, because Scripture tells us that. And then we go on down now, verse 4, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Because God has loved us so much. And not only that he sent his son, which of course is by all means is the most important thing. I wouldn't want to take anything away from that. But he watches over us each and every day. He clears the stumbling blocks out of the path. Yet things that could cause us a problem are no longer there. Or if we're, as we're proceeding through this life and a situation arises and we look back on it, boy, that sure could have gone in another direction had God not intervened. It's happened to me a couple of times, maybe more than a couple. But God is there and he's taking care of us. And he's saying, rejoice in God. One other thought on that verse 21 where it talks about the new body. Those who we know that have gone on, those who just went on here the past couple days, they have that new body. Now there could be an argument, well, yeah, but they're only going to lay in the ground and then be called on the last day. I don't want to go there. But the end result is that they are going to have that new body. And that new body is going to be glorious. And that alone is something to rejoice in, even though we haven't attained it yet. But to trust and to acknowledge and to know that that is our reward because we have believed and trust in what Christ has done and what God did for us. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. This one here is tough for me. It's kind of hard for me to be moderate. I've got an opinion, and by golly, you're going to hear it. And I've tried to stop that. That's not easy. It's not easy for me to do. But only by God's grace, only by his understanding and his love that he has for me reminds me of it. And there are times where I listen, maybe more than, not as much as I should, and maybe more than I used to. But the point is that let your moderation be known to all men. Let your love and compassion that you have towards others be known. And then he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be careful for nothing. Simply put, don't worry. That's easy to do, right? No. Because we're dealing with this human nature, we're dealing with flesh, and we do worry. And the more things become topsy-turvy around us, the more we worry. The more things that get so convoluted and messed up and turned upside down and people hollering and screaming and voicing their opinions, yeah, it's kind of hard. But in everything, not in some things, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Pray always. I ran across a little saying. So do you want to worry less? Pray more. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Yep. Okay, I'm worried here. I'm going to turn to God. Then the gears start turning. Things start going on. And your attention gets drawn away from praying. And your attention gets drawn more and closer to what's going on. And pretty soon you start daydreaming. Pretty soon you start wondering and maybe even visualizing what ifs. Those things are horrible. A what if is horrible because that's exactly what it is, if. But God doesn't work with ifs. God works with certainties because he knows. He knows what is going to happen at any given moment, any given time, in any given circumstance. He knows, and I've spoken to several pastors about this, elder and younger. God knows who's going to die. Not a very good thought, is it? But he knows. He knows before all of this even started happening, he knew. We're humans. It is according, it is counted once to us to die, but it also is accounted once to us to be raised into glory. And that's what we're going to get because we believe and trust in what he has done. Sometimes those thoughts aren't very easy to think about. They're not very easy to deal with. But it is a fact. And trusting in him and what he has done for us and continues to do for us is the most important thing. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Have you ever been confronted with a situation where you start thinking, you start going into that what-if territory? Has it ever been turned out better? Have you ever been able to go into that realm and come up with a solution or something that is satisfactory? For the most part, no. There are times where it might happen. I'm not saying it won't, but for the most part, no. But the peace of God, which passes all understanding, we'll never understand it. We'll never know completely that peace of God until we are with him one day. We'll never understand it completely until we are with him one day. It passes all of our human understanding. And it will keep our hearts and it'll keep our minds through Christ Jesus. It'll hang on to us. It won't let go. There are times where we may begin to wander through something that is going on and we're thinking, well, I'm getting further and further away from God. Well, that's only because you're allowing that to happen. Because God is not going to let go of you. He is not going to let go of you at any time. It's you letting go of him. And that's not what we are around here for. That's not why we are here. So we completely remind ourselves to steer away from those situations where there could be problems or issues. And then he goes on, he says, has this long discourse here. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on those things. That pretty much covers the list, doesn't it? If we're faced with a situation that is outside of these, where are we supposed to go? Think on these things. Think about these things. Think about all of the good things that God has done for you. Think of the good things that God has done for us. Think about the salvation that God has offered to us and given to us through what Jesus has done. Think on all of these things. Don't go down that path of the what-ifs or the maybes. Just think about the things that God has done. And if there be any praise, think on these things. Because all praise belongs to God. All praise belongs to him and what he has done for us. And for the things that we don't even know about. We continue to praise him and glorify him. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Read these last few words. And the God of peace shall be with you. God doesn't turn away. God doesn't go off to one side and say, okay, I'm going to let you stumble along on your own. No, He is with you. He is with me. He is with us. And he's never going to let go. And he continues to love us. And he continues to remind us through his Spirit of what he has done and how much he does love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, as we leave, we pray, God, that we would continue to focus our attention on you, that we would focus that our understanding on what you have done for us, and that we would be reminded of it each and every day through your Spirit. And now, Father, we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.